In Beijing this week, President Barack Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping announced a bilateral agreement to curb carbon emissions. Under the new plan, the U.S. will cut emissions by almost a third by the year 2025. The Chinese government's agreed to hit peak emissions by the year 2030 and then start cutting emissions. Gary Locke is the former U.S. ambassador to China. I asked him why the Chinese emission goals are so different from those in the United States. Locke says they reflect the different levels of development in the two countries.
China is still trying to provide electricity to its half of its population that really lives in the rural areas, and they have very little refrigeration. They have almost no modern appliances that the people in the cities enjoy or that we're used to in the United States. They don't really have microwave ovens or dishwashers or washing machines or clothes dryers. And so there's a huge need for energy, and the challenge for China is how do you provide that electricity to the people of the roughly half the people in the interior and the countryside of China while not producing greenhouse gases. That's why China has committed to basically having 20% of its energy supply by the year 2030 from renewable energy. We're in a different state. We're in a very highly modernized, mechanized, high-quality standard of life, and we need to make a shift from how we enjoy those amenities while at the same time reducing the emissions of greenhouse gases.
So as I understand it, what you're saying is that this 15-year difference in when the U.S. and when China will really start working on the cuts has to do with China catching up, in a sense, to a level of development that we already enjoy?
That's correct. You know, when you have half the people in China still living in the countryside and with very meager electricity or very meager energy, for them to stop developing coal-powered electricity plants right away is absolutely impossible. But they are committed, and they are, in fact, building nuclear power plants. They have perhaps the world's largest number of wind power, windmills, solar energy. They're doing exploration of energy from underwater currents. They're really exploring everything, but they cannot provide enough renewable green energy fast enough to meet the needs of half the population that is just struggling to have the basic amenities that we take for granted in America. So they're still going to be dependent on coal, and so we have to be understanding of that. Nonetheless, I think it's important that both countries be even more aggressive on its targets and that we have to have benchmarks along the way. Now, the Chinese are not being asked to wait 15 years before they have renewable energy. Their targets are to be achieved in 15 years. Now, one of those targets is that 20% of their energy by the year 2030 will be clean energy. At the same time, they're not expected to limit or reach the peak or their maximum amount of greenhouse gas emissions till 2030.
It just strikes me as interesting that they even reached this deal at all, because for the last several years, when they've talked about various types of pollution controls in China, the argument has always been, well, we have not, we're at a disadvantage. We're trying to develop our country to the point where you are. And there's been this reluctance to even make any kind of agreement. So it seems that something like this agreement announced this week is a landmark.
Well, this is a very significant agreement, and because we are, both countries, the largest producers of greenhouse gas emissions. Americans produce more greenhouse gas emissions per person than any other country in the world. China, because of the sheer population, four times the population of America, produces the most greenhouse gases of any country in the world. So nothing will work in terms of trying to avoid or reduce the impacts of climate change unless both the United States and China join forces to tackle this problem. So it's encouraging that on such a grave issue that the United States and China have reached an agreement. We can all argue whether or not it's fast enough, whether it's strong enough, whether it's enforceable enough. We can debate as to how the United States will be able to do it if there's a reluctant or recalcitrant Congress. And we'll have to see what powers the president is able to invoke to set our nation on a course of meeting these targets. But the fact that the two countries are addressing this, are committed to this, recognize the importance of this, is a is a very, very important step.
You mentioned the recalcitrant Congress. What kinds of challenges will Chinese leaders have in implementing this?
Well, the Chinese leaders don't have to worry about a Congress. They're a communist authoritarian country, and so whatever the leaders say will go. The big question is, do they have the political will as well? Do they have the technological expertise and wherewithal to accomplish this? And it will be disruptive to the people. And what will be the impact on cost of daily consumer goods? What will be the impact on industries? And will industries have to shut down? Will that lead to massive unemployment? And the list goes on and on. But the consequences of doing nothing are even more profound and unacceptable.
What does this say about the relationship between the two countries?
Well, it shows that in areas where we do have commonality, we are able to come together to try to come up with solutions while setting aside our differences, knowing that we will always have differences. Just as the United States has differences with some of our closest allies in Europe, nonetheless, there are so many areas of common concern. Climate change is one. Stopping the development of nuclear weapons is another. Stopping terrorism is a third, and trying to find cures to some of the world's most dreaded diseases is another example. So there's a long list of things in which we can and must find cooperation while we will disagree on other matters. And it's great that our two leaders, through their negotiators, have been working so hard and long on this climate announcement.
That's Gary Locke, former U.S. ambassador to China and former governor of Washington State. Although the U.S.-Chinese climate agreement is groundbreaking, it does still need congressional approval. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.